Listen. They write the script, and I just go do it, okay? That's all I can say. I had nothing to do with that whatsoever. Oh, man, I hope you're having fun with this hashtag thing. I'm having a good time with it. In fact, I've had no fewer than maybe four conversations with folks trying to explain to me exactly still what this hashtag thing even is. I'm getting closer. I think by the time we finish this series, I'll actually know what a hashtag is and know how to use it. I was looking on my phone the other day, and I actually do have a Twitter account. So I go into my Twitter account. I take a look at it. I got three followers, okay? Two are my aunts in Atlanta, and the other is Jeff Raw. So I'm this is just killing me. So sooner or later, I hope, there you go, Jeff. So that's all I've got for my Twitter at this point. So hopefully I will start to understand what this whole thing is with hashtags. But, you know, for my hashtag millennial team, let me just say this here. I'm in the AARP group, okay? This symbol here only means a couple of things. My wife calls me. She says, hey, I need you to go to the store to get some sugar. I go to the store. I forget what she says, so I call her back. And she says, I need 5 pounds of sugar. This is the international sign for pound, right? There we, yeah, you know what I mean. Or that's the international sign for let's play tic-tac-toe. That's it. That's all that means to me. So I guess using the same symbolism for the hashtag, hashtag millennials, I'm worried about your future. That's all I got to say. But since I do want to get paid this week, I better title my message using that hashtag. So my message this week is hashtag hope. And we're going to be all over the New Testament this morning. So let me encourage you, if you miss some of the passages this morning, to go back or to go to thechapel.com later on this week sometime and just take a look at it again. Grab the scriptures and maybe do even a deeper dive than we're able to do today. But let that be something that's part of your spiritual formation. It's great for Sunday, but it's also great during the course of the week to go back and relook at that message. So if you miss something, please do that. I want to talk about something this morning that is going to be more for the folks that have already placed their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the hope that we have in Jesus, the hope for a certain eternity. You see, here's the cool thing. If you already have that hope for a certain eternity, that can be absolutely monumental in the lives of the people that God has placed in your circle of influence. If you have that certainty of hope of that future. Because once we have received that hope of a certain future, you and I are then to dispense that. We are to share that with the people that God has placed in their lives. And I want to make sure that we understand that we have that hope, and I want to point us to Scripture. For all those who are already following Jesus, point us to Scripture that gives us that confidence of the hope that we do have in the gospel. Because you can't give that hope if you aren't confident in it yourself. So I want to make sure that through God's word that you are confident of the hope that you have, so you will be able to impact your circles of influence. Now, if you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, do not check out. Every Sunday, people come to church, sometimes with their arms crossed, their heart cold, and their eyes kind of rolling back in their head like, oh, this Jesus thing. But don't close out God. God may touch your heart this morning. He may pierce your heart this morning because of the gospel presence of the person sitting next to you. He may have pierced your heart already this morning with the songs that we had a chance to sing. He may pierce your heart this morning by the words that I'll share with you this morning. He also may pierce your heart just because he can. So while you may have entered into the chapel this morning, be it at Cheektowaga or Lockport or here or online, you may have checked in this morning separated from God. You don't need to leave that way. You can leave this morning a child of God with the same charge that all of us have as being dispensers of the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you once again for the opportunity to be in your presence and to hear your word. Father, I just ask that you would clear our hearts and our mind of anything that would be clouding it. And Father, help me to communicate this morning what I believe you've asked me to communicate as it relates to hope. And may it give confidence to those who are already following you. And I pray that it would bring life to those here this morning that have not yet embraced the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We trust that you do these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to first look at the three passages that contain what I guess we could call the three theological truths of the gospel: faith, hope, and love. Many places in the Bible, you will see those three together. Not every place, but many places in the Bible where you see faith, hope's not far behind, and love is not far behind. And I want to walk us through three passages that will bring those three things together and, again, point us in the right direction. So let's walk through some scripture together this morning, starting off first with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. As Pastor Jonathan taught us last week, that faith in Christ is our foundation. That with Christ as that foundation, everything is based on that. Apart from that foundation, everything will crumble. But with our hope in Jesus Christ, our faith in Jesus Christ, that gives us hope. That gives us hope for a certain eternity. That gives us hope for an expectation, a confident expectation of things to come in terms of a certain eternity. And when our hope and our faith are aligned together, that allows you and I to love just as Jesus Christ loves and as Jesus Christ did. Our faith, our hope, and our love together in unison. Listen to what Paul also writes in 1 Thessalonians. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we see faith, hope, and love in unison. It's because of our hope in Jesus Christ, our confident expectation of things to come, that you and I are able to endure. And just a little bit further on in the message, we're going to talk a little bit more about endure and perseverance, all because of this thing we have that's called hope. Let's take a look at that third passage, Colossians 1. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. Faith, hope, and love. Now, if we're honest with each other, if we're honest about this, one of the most attractive things about the gospel, I mean, of course, Jesus is the most attractive thing about the gospel, but one of the most attractive things about the gospel is this thing called heaven, isn't it? I mean, we don't know exactly what this looks like, but God's word tells us, man, you are not going to be disappointed with it. So hope of forgiveness that we have and hope of eternity in heaven, those two things right there, I mean, that is what that's built upon. But listen to what Paul writes in Titus 1. This is what I think gives a lot of hope right here in and of itself. And this gives me hope, and I hope it gives you confidence too. Here in Titus 1:2. This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. You catch that? God, who does not lie. You know why God can't lie? It's not in his nature. God is nothing but truth, all the time. God cannot lie. Now, you and I, on the other hand, we have no problem with that, right? That's our nature. Based upon what we want, based upon what we need, you and I can choose to tell the truth, you and I can choose to lie. But God cannot and does not lie. And the simple fact that he doesn't lie, but he tells us that he has prepared a home for us in heaven, man, that gives me hope right there. God doesn't lie. And I rest on that right there, that as you read the scriptures from Genesis through Revelation, the things we read are truth. And that provides hope. But understand this, though, while we absolutely would like to have hope for a better earthly future, it is way more important that you and I have hope for a certain eternity. That trumps the hope for a better earthly future. Any day, any time. I can't recall exactly where I read this from. But it reads like this, and I don't want to get the credit for it, but I can't recall where I read it from, but it goes like this. The goal in life is not to make earth a better place in which to go to hell from. Think about that for a second. I'll read it again. The goal in life is not to make earth a better place in which to go to hell from. That says a lot. And to me, here's what I get from that. That too often, we place our emphasis way too much on things of this world, the hope of this world. We place too much emphasis on that and totally lose sight of the hope that we have in a certain eternity in Jesus Christ. Way too many believers are placing way too much hope on the things of this world. And we need to reverse that to make sure that the things that you and I are hoping for and placing our faith, hope, and trust in is our hope in Jesus Christ. Now, for people who are unconvinced of the gospel, for people who are yet to receive Jesus Christ, that's pretty much what you would expect, right? That they would be placing their hope on things in this world. That they would rest on the things of this world to hopefully give them the hope that they're looking for. And that's why they have the attitude, most often than not, that you only live once. Get all that you can get. You only live for today. When you don't have hope for a certain eternity, that's the only place you go at that point in time. You may recall the Rockefeller, how he answered the question of how much money is enough. And to that he answered, just a little bit more. If your hope is on things of this world, that's going to be your answer too. Well, just a little bit more of this. Just a little bit more of that. Because if I have maybe that little bit more, this hole in my heart will be filled. And if this hole in my heart is filled, then I will be happy. So you get the little bit more, whatever it may be, and only to find out that that hole is still there. I'm still not happy. I still want a little bit more. Listen to Mark 8 and what God's word tells us. For what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet to forfeit their own soul? If you're here this morning, yet to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope that you're probably hanging on to is hope in this world. But that verse from a God who doesn't lie tells us and tells you that hope in this world will not be profitable for you. And to be honest, chances are all those things in this world that you hope for, you won't even attain all those things that you hope for all of that will be in vain. So if your hope is in anything other than God, anything other than Jesus Christ and what he offers, it will fall way, way short. So I'll hope for a better future here on earth is good, and that hope can be many, many things. And why shouldn't we hope for a better earthly future, right? Why wouldn't we hope for that? Many of us have hope for reconciled relationships. Many of you have relationships right now, maybe with a family member or a neighbor or a coworker or someone that you have hope for a reconciled relationship. Yes, you want to have hope for a better future. Maybe some of you have hope for a better career. I mean, Pastor Jerry, I don't hope for a better career because this is it. But maybe you have hope for a better career. There's nothing wrong with having hope for those types of things. Maybe from a health perspective, you have health issues. You have hope for better health, don't you? I know many of you have probably a prayer list that's as long as my arm of people that are struggling with something from a health perspective. They have hope for a better health in their future. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Maybe hope for better stewardship of the finances that God brings to you. So there's nothing wrong with the hope that we have for those things, but the first priority must be hope for a certain eternity in Jesus Christ. That trumps everything. And for people who follow Jesus Christ, there's two hopes that I want to talk about. The hopes, again, for the better future, and the hopes for a certain eternity. You see, after having received this hope of accepting Jesus Christ, you and I are commissioned then to take that hope and live it out and dispense that to people in the church of God. We're also to dispense that hope and share that with people who are outside of the family of God as well. You and I are to be dispensers of that hope. And much of how we dispense hope to people is how are we being the gospel presence in their lives? How do we put the gospel on display in the lives of people that God has in our circle of influence? Do we put the gospel on display by how we love others? Do we put the gospel on display with how we listen to others? Are we putting the gospel on display with how we demonstrate compassion to others? And are we putting the gospel on display with how we encourage other people and we show appreciation and gratitude for the things that they may do in our lives? You and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to demonstrate the gospel presence of people so that they will see hope for a certain eternity as well as hope for a better future. And when we talk about this hope that we are gospel presence in people's lives, it's kind of what we would call Christ-like relationships, isn't it? Here at the Crosspoint campus, if you go out into the atrium and to the right of door number 6, what you're going to see is a mural that talks about the 4 outcomes that we talk about quite often at the chapel. I don't think we have that up in Lockport yet. I'd love to do it in Regal, but they won't let us paint on their walls. I mean, the nerve of them. But I want you to do is take a look at what those spiritual 4 outcomes. Intimacy with God, first and foremost. Without intimacy with God, none of those other will make sense. Christ-like relationships, number 2. Knowing and sharing our grace story, as well as serving, and how are we serving. So here at the Crosspoint campus, you can look at that and take a look at that, but also Lockport and Cheektowaga. If you go to thechapel.com, you look under spiritual formation, you will click on that tab there, and you'll see that expanded of what it means to have these 4 outcomes and increasing measures in our life as we mature and grow in our faith. You'll also hear a lot about the 4 outcomes in our discipleship beginnings class, and a ton of it that you'll hear in our discipleship teaching. Intimacy with God, Christ-like relationships, knowing and sharing our grace story, and how we serve. Those are things that we must have in increasing measure in our lives. Because when we're being the gospel presence in the lives of others, we can dispense hope for a better future. And I'm fully confident that when we are being the gospel presence in the lives of other people, God will begin to give us discernment to open the door so that we will know when we can share the hope for a certain eternity. But we have to be paying attention. We need to listen to that, because the reality is this: in the broken and the sinful world that we live in right now, you and I will have trouble, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is we might as well just make that plural and say we will have troubles. I don't know anybody who only has one thing bothering them. But Jesus spoke so much about this in the Bible, and listen to what he said in John 16. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Man, that's awesome. Because what if Jesus could have said this? In this world, you will have trouble. Oh, well, right? But he didn't. He said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. That, my friend, is what you call hope. Now, listen, if you belong to Jesus Christ, whatever you may be journeying through in life right now, believe this. And I want to be sensitive here. I don't want to minimize it at all. Whatever you're journeying through in life right now is as bad as it's going to get. No matter what you're journeying through, because whatever you're journeying through, at the moment in time that Jesus calls us home, what waits on the other side is our soul in the presence of God, our soul in the presence of Jesus Christ. This is as bad as it will get. But think of it just the opposite. If you're here this morning separated from God, this is as good as it gets. No matter what it is you're going through, this is as good as it gets. Because when you're called to count, when your soul is gone here, separated from God, an eternity in hell awaits you. That has to change the perspective on things that we have here. But I know it's not easy going through the hardships. So again, I want to be sensitive that I'm not trying to minimize what you may be going through. What I'm trying to do is maximize God. Because listen to what we hear in James 1. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Again, we're talking about that hope. Back that up with what we hear in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, We have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also in the glory of our suffering, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. A hope that does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In a kind of another triple set of passages there, look with me, if you will, at Hebrews 10. And this relates to perseverance. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. So yes, this life we will have troubles. There is no doubt about that. But do not, I repeat, do not discard your hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Remember, God doesn't lie. And he says just above us that we will be rewarded. We do have those promises. So hope for a better tomorrow and hope for a certain eternity. I ask you the question, how do you dispense that in the lives that that God has placed into you? Are you living your life on mission, dispensing both of those hopes for a certain eternity and a better future? You know, one of the things that I'm really, really privileged here to do at the chapel is I lead mission trips to Haiti on a pretty regular basis, a couple times a year. I take teams to Haiti, and we'll be going again in just a couple of months. And I get firsthand to see the opportunity of people sharing the gospel, the hope of a certain eternity, and hope for a better future. I see that firsthand over and over. And what I like to do now is just take a moment and share with you some of the stories of hope for a certain eternity. If you will, go to that first slide. Hopefully you can see that. When we were in the village of Bercy several years ago, we had an opportunity to speak with this woman here that's leaning against that pole. It's pretty cool that there's a heart there when you hear the story. We had an opportunity and a privilege to hear about her life. And when I say privilege, I say that extremely loosely, because it was tough. It was a tough life. It was a life filled with pain, with hurt, with isolation, with abandonment, with all the things that you would say, my goodness gracious, how on earth do you manage something like that? And she was telling us about this new place where she was living. She was there simply because of what had happened and how she had been humiliated in a past village where she was in. Now, we didn't get into the detail of what that humiliation was, but we had good reason to believe we knew what that humiliation was. But the woman who was on the right side of her was listening to what she said when she said humiliated. And she began to share with this woman the humiliation that Jesus Christ must have endured as he went to the cross. And all of the things that led to being on the cross, she shared with him how he was beaten and spat upon and stabbed with a spear, hung on the cross, crucified there, still being mocked at and laughed at. And even while doing those things, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. She shared the humiliation that Jesus must have endured. Because when we had our conversation with her, she said that she didn't want to be in touch with God because God could never forgive her for the life that she has lived. And that was sad to hear that. But having had the gospel shared with her, having her fully understand a little bit more that Jesus did the things that he did because he loves her and wants a relationship with her and endured the cross so that she could be in a relationship with him, that day she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Man, you can clap. It was absolutely awesome. So by having an opportunity to talk about hope for a better future, we were able to share the hope of a certain eternity. Now, we went back just a couple of months ago. We didn't get an opportunity to see her. I don't know necessarily that her future has gotten any better. I don't know that. I'd hope to see her when we go in October. But I can tell you one thing. She confessed with her mouth and believed in her heart that Jesus is Lord. Her hope for her certain eternity, guaranteed. Let me share another story with you here. These two gentlemen. You can't read that shirt, but it says, the yellow shirt says, Heart of a Cowgirl. And I guess when you don't have clothes, you don't really care what it says. But it says, Heart of a Cowgirl. And That little hut back there is their kitchen. It's about maybe 5 feet by 5 feet, and we asked them about that. Yeah, it took me about a week to put that together with sticks and everything, and in this little 5 foot by 5 foot is a little pot. That's all they have. And at the same time, I was going through a remodeling project at my house where we were redoing our kitchen. And again, with our interpreter, we're talking about those things. And he asked about my kitchen. I told him it took me a year to do mine. And he says, in Creole, of course, again with our interpreter, you'd never make it in Haiti. You know? So if you could keep that up there, please. So we had an opportunity to spend a great deal of time with these young men, these older men, the brothers that lived together. Their lives, their hopes, their dreams for Haiti, as well as our hopes and our dreams for our country, because this isn't all about just sharing what they have, it's sharing us as well. So we're just sharing our lives. Had a great opportunity of talking to them. The brother on the right is a believer, and the brother on the left was kind of like, I want nothing to do with that. You know, I live with this every day. He didn't want any part of it. So we continued to spend our time with him, just being the gospel presence for a couple of hours. When we stopped that and we finished and we went to the house next door, we spent several hours there doing the exact same thing, just being the gospel presence, learning more about their lives and sharing our lives with them. Spent a couple hours there, and as we're walking back to the bus, the brother on the right there says, hey, listen, my brother wants to talk to you guys again. We said, fine, let's go. We went over, talked to him. That day he wanted to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. And if you see here, Pastor Jonathan Staples at Shiloh Baptist Church walks him through accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior. Totally awesome. So to be able to be in a position to share the hope of the gospel, to see him come to faith in Jesus Christ, and we had our village champion with us, so we were able to get them connected to a local church. He doesn't read. There was no reason to give him a Bible, but you know what? Regardless of whether he read or not, regardless of whether his hope for a better future comes, hopefully we'll see him again when we go in October, he confessed with his mouth and believed in his heart that Jesus Christ was Lord, and he has a certain eternity. And that is absolutely awesome. And one more story I'll share with you here. And here's a really cool story, because this one's a story of hope for a better future. This young man here is Fabi, and he was our interpreter on our very first trip to Mission of Hope. And he was one of the interpreters for all of the Mission of Hope's missionaries, the temporary short-term missionaries that come there. And again, we get to hear his story, another story, you know, a lot of heartbreak and a lot of disappointment in life. But one day we were in Haiti, in Bercy, traveling back, and the bus comes to like a screeching halt on Route 1 Nationale. Fabi, the door opens of the bus, Fabi waves goodbye, darts down a dusty, dirty road into the mountainside, and we're kind of looking like, what was that all about? And we ask the bus driver, oh, that's where Fabi lives, back over in that area. And you look and you say, well, I don't see anything over there. Well, that's where he lives. So the very next morning, when Fabi gets to Mission of Hope, we're having breakfast, and we're talking about, you know, again, life. We spend a lot of time just talking about life and what God is doing in our lives and our countries and our hopes and our dreams and things like that. And someone asks Fabi, you know, where'd you go? He says, oh, I live there. We have a really small home. I actually live outside. I sleep outside. I do everything outside because our home is too small for all the people that need to live there. So that is what I do. And one of the other folks had asked Fabi, they said, well, Fabi, what do you think about that? How do you feel about that? And what he said changed a lot of lives that day, because he said something that had to do with contentment that I don't think if I asked anyone I would have heard. Fabi says like this, if God would have wanted me to have a house, God would have given me a house. But since he's given me what he has right now, I'm comfortable and happy just living outside. That is a young man whose heart is sold out for Jesus Christ and has his hope for a certain eternity settled. But the cool side of this story here is his hope for a better future. At that point in time, Fabi, again, he was our interpreter. Another trip or two came by, and you know, Fabi is now the interpreter for some of the executives that come back and forth into Mission of Hope. A couple trips later, Fabi is now working in the orphanage for boys at Mission of Hope. Fabi is now leading the whole orphanage for the boys at Mission of Hope and graduates from high school next June. Hope for a better future and hope for a certain eternity. But because of what I know about Fabi, even if those things for hope for a better future had not happened, man, he's still sold out for Jesus no matter what happens. And it was absolutely a beautiful thing. And I could go on and on and on about stories of hope for a better future coupled with hope for a certain eternity. And I really hope that each of you has an opportunity at some point to join us on one of our trips when we go to Haiti. These short-term mission teams are able to do what they do in dispensing hope in those two different areas because of your generosity. And it is super, super appreciated for that. One of the things that I always remind the people when we go on our mission trips is this, that while God has sent us to Mission of Hope for 1 week to share a hope of the gospel and hope for a better future, while he sent us there for the 1 week on our mission trip, we're commissioned to do that right here where we are for 51 weeks out of the year and what we would call our mission field. And the folks that go on the trip, that's no different from any of you who are actually followers of Jesus Christ. You may have never have gone on a mission trip. You do have a mission field. And you have been called and commissioned to share the hope of the gospel, the hope of a certain future, and the hope of a certain eternity right where you are, right here, right now. That is what we are called to do. Yeah, there you go. Amen. All right, I like him. We sit under what I believe is arguably some of the best teaching around. You can rank this at the top and everything else below. But yes, one of the things that we come back to quite often is this, though, is as we get all this teaching, we can see that our knowledge base continues to increase. What you and I are charged to do is take that obedience and increase that with it. Because simply to have all of this knowledge and to do nothing with it does the gospel no good. All we are at that point in time is we are just constipated with all of this biblical knowledge, which is great, but we don't live it out, and the hope of the gospel is not shared in the circles of influence in which where we live. Listen to Luke 11, if you will. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come may see the light. Ladies, gentlemen, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we are charged to make sure that our light shines, that our light is actually being demonstrated in the lives of people who we come in contact with every single day. Listen also here to Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine, so that others may see, that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I like the tail end of that of glorifying your Father in heaven, because oftentimes we would like to do our good deeds. And is that for us to boast in? No, it's not for us to boast. Jesus Christ gets all of that. So our good deeds that are prompted by love that we talked about are all for God's glory. So that is what we are to do. We're not to not put our light on display. That is a very attractive thing to do. So while we are always super appreciative of the hope that you're helping us to provide at Mission of Hope or maybe some of the other Kingdom Come partners that we have by your faithful giving, our desire is that each of you would intentionally take your lives and live them more on mission so that we can share that hope for a brighter future and, more importantly, hope for a certain eternity, daily following Jesus and compelling others to do the same. We thought about that definition of a disciple over a number of different weeks and months, just talking about what does it mean to do that. One thing we come to a conclusion of is this. It is awfully, awfully difficult to compel someone to follow Jesus if we aren't doing it ourselves, which is why we are always talking about our spiritual formation, the daily following Jesus and the compelling others to do the same. Now, if you're one of the guys who went through Fight Club, let me say this. You're probably saying right now that you recognize that tone of voice in Leroy. And something tells me that he is about to give 2,000 people some spiritual and relational assignments to accomplish this week for their spiritual formation. And you couldn't be more right, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. Here's what I like to see all of us accomplish this week towards our spiritual formation. And you can kind of call this a mini Fight Club week, if you will. I'll hold off on the nutritional, and I'll hold off on the physical stuff. I don't want to get anybody in trouble that way, but we're just going to have a mini Fight Club week that's going to be full of spiritual and relational things that we accomplish towards our spiritual formation. So on the back of your bulletin, which you should all be having right in front of you and making notes, our memory verse this week for all of us to memorize, let that be Psalm 43:5 that Jonathan has put together. It reads this way. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Let's all place that scripture in our hearts this week. Let's use that as we propel ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit to be the gospel presence in other lives. Let's use that, each and every one of us, as our scripture memory for the week. But also, you'll see some passages of scripture from Monday all the way through Saturday. Every day this week, this is part of the daily following Jesus part, right? Every day this week, I've encouraged each of us to be into these passages of scripture. And maybe not just reading these passages, but maybe reading the chapter before and the chapter after so that we have it in context. This is the daily following Jesus part, and I think that you will be greatly blessed if you do that. But that's the spiritual side of your mini week of Fight Club, if you will. Here's the other side. The relational part of Fight Club. So each of us is to demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ in the lives of other people. Let's take away this challenge here. Find someone this week, at least one person this week, in which you can be the gospel influence in their lives by providing hope for a better future. Through maybe that's through encouragement of someone. Maybe you know someone that you work with or go to school with, or you go to the gym with, or whatever the case may be, find a way this week to encourage someone authentically. And you know what an authentic encouragement looks like, right? You know what that looks like. Let that be your challenge this week, because here's the deal. There are people all around us that need encouragement. And I'll demonstrate that right now. How many of you here, either at Cross Point, the East Worship Center, Lockport, or at the Regal Cinemas, how many of you need encouragement right now in something? Yeah, look at that. There are people all around us that God has placed us where we are for a reason. Excuse me. That we need to come alongside people and give them authentic encouragement to build them up. And I am thoroughly confident of that. As we begin to build people up, we will also have an opportunity to share the gospel. Because here is your assignment number two, and this is the one that gets everybody. I would ask everyone here who's a follower of Jesus Christ, find someone this week to share the gospel with. The hope of the gospel. No freaking out about it, because part of Fight Club, I'll tell you this, well, you're just going to enjoy this week and grow in your faith. No wimping out on that one. God may not necessarily provide that opportunity, but I believe that if we're listening, if our heart is attentive to the people that God has placed in our lives, and we're having conversations with them, that he will open opportunities for us to share the gospel. He may not fling the door wide open. It may simply be a little bitty crack. But if we're listening, we will have an opportunity to do just that by sharing the gospel. Maybe one of the passages that you heard this morning has pierced your heart. Place that in your heart, and as you have your daily conversations with people, what that looks like for you, I don't know. You know where you work. You know where you live. You know who lives in your home. You know where you shop. You know the people that you come in contact with on a regular basis. Share the gospel in some meaningful way. Maybe there's a verse of scripture that you might have that we would call your life verse. We did a series on that a couple of years ago. Maybe there's a verse that really means something to you. Think of the opportunity that you may have. I'll do it again. How many of you know someone who needs to know the gospel? There we go. See, once again, there are people all around us that need to hear the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you have received that hope, you are to dispense that hope as well. So I would encourage you to do that. And let's go back to last week when Pastor Jonathan had given us the assignment of writing out your grace story. Maybe that's it right there. Maybe it's just as simple as having your grace story on paper. And that when you're having time with someone, just talking about what you're talking about, listening to their lives, understanding what's going on in their life, that you might be able to say to them, hey, listen, you know, I just want to share this with you. This little sheet of paper here just tells you how I came to faith in Jesus Christ and what it means since that has happened. You may or may not believe that, but just read it, and I think you'll be encouraged by that. It's really pretty simple. I mean, in fact, you know, if you come up here for 2 seconds, can you come up for 2 seconds? Uh-oh, yeah, don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to share the gospel with me. I'm going to share it with you. So how does this actually look, right? How does it look when you're having a conversation with someone to share the gospel? You say, geez, I'm kind of freaked out about this, Leroy. I've never really done it. We're having a conversation, so forth and so on. Dude, thanks so much for sharing everything that you shared. You know, I've been working with you for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and we've had some minor conversations, but I never knew the stuff that you were going through. I just never knew. And I'm grateful that you shared, and if it's okay, I'd love to pray for you and pray with you, but far more important than that, man, here's the deal. I just want to share something with you. You may believe it, you may not believe it, but God loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you, but our sin separates us from him, and our sin cannot be erased by doing good deeds. We always think that my good's going to outweigh my bad. It's simply not going to outweigh that. That's not the way it works, but paying the price for all of our sin, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and to die for me. And for all the people that put their faith, hope, and trust in him, we get to live a life in eternity when we are passed from this earth here. But see, here's the deal. That doesn't necessarily mean that everything in life's going to go our way, but it does mean that everything that goes in our life, God and Jesus will be there with us. So you may believe that, you may not, but man, I just want to make sure that you hear that, you know that, and if you ever want to talk about that, man, I'd love to do that with you.
Thanks, Leroy.
There you go. See how easy that is? And you can probably do it 10 times better than that. Thank you so much. So take the opportunity, take those relationships that God has placed in our lives to share the hope of a better future and share the hope of the gospel, daily following Jesus and compelling others to do the same. That is what being a disciple of Jesus Christ is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for what I would say is some really, really great scripture and confidence that we would have in the hope of the gospel. For the folks here this morning that are already believers in Jesus Christ, I pray that your scripture would have spoken to them. My words were just my silly, mumbled up words, but your words were true. We know you don't lie. God, I pray that this would have given confidence to all of us to better understand and live out our missions and live out the lives that you've given us so that we would provide hope for a better future, but hope for a certain eternity and the folks that you've placed in our lives. But God, also, I just pray right now for those who have come today that maybe at Lockport or Cheektowaga or online that have yet to be convinced of the gospel. Maybe you've pierced their heart this morning in some way that they had not anticipated. Maybe those same scriptures that those who believe are using for confidence, they may now have that confidence, God. I would pray that you would give them the courage this morning to share that they've accepted Christ as their Savior. If you're here at Cross Point or in the East Worship Center, I would encourage you to go to the fireside room and let someone know that you're accepting Christ as your Savior today. You may have come separated from God, but you don't have to leave that way. And upon your leaving today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you now also have that same commission to share the hope of the gospel into the lives of people that God has placed in your circle of influence. And God, again, I just ask that we would always remember to daily follow you and to compel others to do the same. God, we trust you. We thank you for your word. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, thank you so much and have a great day. Thank you.